This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we will complete Surah Al-Qasas today. Today, inshallah, is the final class of Tafsir of Surah Al-Qasas. And inshallah, we will begin from verse number 76. Towards the conclusion of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Qarun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding Qarun that إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. That indeed Qarun was from the people of Musa alayhi salam, meaning he was from the Bani Israel, but still فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ, he tyrannized them or he rebelled. He became oppressive towards them. He was unjust towards them. Because what is expected of a person of power and privilege is to use his privilege to help his own people. But Qarun actually used his privilege, the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, to oppress his own people. He was not using the blessings that Allah had given him to help his people. Rather, he used them to oppress them even more, to harm them even more. And so we learn here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a whole lot of wealth. And it is mentioned that وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ. That the amount of wealth that Qarun had been given was so much that just the keys to the treasures of Qarun were so many and so heavy that they would be difficult to carry. They would heavily weigh down on a group of strong men. Meaning, if this is the state of, if this is the case with the keys that were used to access the treasures of Qarun, then just imagine the amount of wealth that Qarun possessed. And the fact that, you know, there were so many keys shows that Qarun had basically hoarded his wealth. He had, accumulated a whole lot of wealth and he had hoarded it, meaning he was not really, and the fact that it's called kanz shows that he was not giving from his wealth to the poor. And remember that the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, especially wealth that has been sitting for an entire year, remember that the haqq of the poor, the right of the poor must be given from it. And that is called zakat. And when zakat is not given from a hoard of wealth, then such wealth is called kanz. And we learn that on the Day of Judgment, people will be punished by such wealth. So for example, we learn about how gold and silver that people hoarded will actually be heated up in the fire and then people will be branded with that. Astaghfirullah. So this is a very serious matter that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a person wealth, then they must give from it the right of the poor and the needy. So this was the state of his wealth. But then his people advised him, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ. His people said to him that Qarun, لَا تَفْرَحْ, do not be too happy or do not exult, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. Indeed, Allah does not like the people who exult. And then they continued with the advice. They advised him that seek the home of the hereafter through the wealth that Allah has given you. And at the same time, do not forget about, you know, your share of the world, meaning enjoy from your wealth in this life as well. But then pay it forward. When Allah has been good to you, you should also be good to people. And do not use your wealth to commit corruption in the earth, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like such people. So we see that his people, the Bani Israel, they actually advised Qarun. So this shows us that among the Bani Israel, there were people of good sense. There were people of knowledge, people of taqwa. And so they advised Qarun out of goodwill, out of sincerity, and out of that feeling that they wanted to help him. So they advised him. Now, sometimes what happens is that when people advise an individual, that individual really does not like the advice, especially when a person has a certain level of privilege or a certain level, a certain status, then they think that they are above any advice. So we see that they advised him and he did not like the advice at all. But it's very important that when people advise us, no matter who it is, someone who knows us or someone who does not know us, right? Someone who is, a person of knowledge or someone who is a person who does not know much. Whether they talk to us nicely when advising us or they're extremely rude to us, it's very important that we look at what is being said instead of how it is being said or who is it that is giving us advice, right? Learn to filter through. We learn about how one of the companions, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when he was instructed to guard the wealth of charity because it had to be distributed among the poor, so he was appointed to guard it overnight. And we learn in hadith about how someone came and began stealing from it, and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu caught that person. And then this happened over and over again. Right, and the final night that this individual came, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu caught him, and he said that that's it. I'm definitely going to, hold you now, and I'm going to tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this. And that individual said that let me go. I will tell you something that will keep you safe at night, right? And what is that? Recite Ayatul Kursi. All right. So then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that was shaitan, right? That shaitan is the one who kept coming in order to steal from it. And even though shaitan is a liar, what he said over here was true, right? Meaning, yes, if you recite Ayatul Kursi at night, it will guard you, it will protect you all night long, right? So this shows us that even though shaitan is the one who's giving the advice, yes, we don't listen to shaitan. But here, when he said that Ayatul Kursi guards you all night, that statement is true. And this is the reason why we recite Ayatul Kursi at night, for our protection. So this shows us that it's very important for us to focus on the piece of advice that is being given to us, rather than reject an advice simply because the person who is giving us that advice is not important in our eyes, or we think that they don't know me, so basically I don't care about the advice that they're giving me. Always look at the content, right? Because these days what happens is that every piece of advice is called unsolicited advice and it's rejected, and people have put themselves up on such a pedestal that let me do whatever I want, and you have no right to say anything to me. But we should not be so arrogant. Learn from people who show you love, and also from your haters. Really, people who hate you, or people who don't care about your feelings, sometimes they will tell you things that are absolutely true, that people who love you will never have the courage to tell you. So yes, it's definitely hurtful. It's definitely annoying, and it's definitely upsetting, when people go on advising you. But see what you can learn from that, right? So here we see that Qarun was given advice by his people, but he completely rejected it. Now look at the advice that they gave him. First of all, they said, "La tafrah, inna Allah la yuhibbul farihin." Five things they advised him with. All right. The first thing was, do not be too happy. Do not exult, because indeed Allah does not like those people who exult. And we discussed the meaning of la tafrah. Now, la tafrah also means don't be too happy. All right. Meaning don't be too happy with this world. Yani, don't think that, you know, you are successful or that you are the most fortunate person and you've made it and you are the best just because of this wealth that you have, right? Don't consider that, you know, the wealth that you have is a sign of your success. Because the fact is that when you are too happy with the world and you make the things of the world the ultimate source of your enjoyment and pleasure, then what's going to happen? It's going to distract you from the hereafter. And remember that those who are deeply in love with the world, right, then they end up doing things because of which they earn the disapproval of Allah. And this is why it has been said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like such people. And remember that the love of the world, when it is extreme, when it is such that a person makes it their ultimate source of joy, then it becomes destructive for them. It's very unhealthy. And it is such love that basically makes a person do things which are impermissible. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he warned us that a time will come that a person would be a Muslim in the morning and an unbeliever in the evening. And he would get up in the morning as a Muslim, but by the end of the day, he will have renounced his faith. He will have given up his faith, right? And he said that the person would sell his faith for worldly goods. And for the sake of worldly gain, for the sake of the dunya, a person will even give up his iman, his faith. The Prophet ﷺ also warned us that certainly a time will come when people will not bother to know as to where they earn their money, right? Whether it is through lawful means or unlawful means. Why? Because the greed, the love for wealth is so strong that a person doesn't care what is permissible and what is impermissible. We also learned the Prophet ﷺ said that the world is sweet and green, yani it's very attractive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put you in the world in order to see what you do. فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا. So beware of the world. Yani be careful. Don't let the love of the world enter your heart, because then it's going to lead you astray. The second thing that they said to him is, وَبْتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. That seek through what Allah has given you the home of the hereafter. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has truly blessed you with all of this wealth, but this wealth can actually be a means for you to earn the eternal home of the hereafter. So use this wealth in the best possible way. Don't just use it for worldly pleasures, because all of the pleasures of the world will eventually come to an end. And the pleasures of the hereafter, they're everlasting. So you have an advantage over here. You have the means to earn the home of the hereafter through the wealth that Allah has given you. And remember that the world is the mazra'a, right? It's the farming land of the hereafter, meaning you use this wealth in order to earn the home of the hereafter. So, وَبْتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us about how he told us about the comparison of worldly things, right? The nature of worldly things compared to the hereafter, right? The nature of worldly things, of worldly abundance compared to the hereafter. And he mentioned that the world compared to the hereafter is but like what one of you gets when placing his finger into the sea. So look at what you draw from it. And all of the dunya is what? Just like that drop of water. And what is the hereafter? Like the sea, like the ocean. So yes, you know, you have been given a lot of wealth, but remember the whole picture, right? that what you have right now is just a fraction of that drop. And what you can earn through this is the ocean. So use this, the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in the right way. And then the third piece of advice they gave him is, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Do not forget your share of the world. Meaning we're not telling you to give all of your wealth in charity, or that you leave all of your wealth and let it go to waste. No, use your wealth to earn the hereafter, and use your wealth to fulfill your worldly needs as well. But remember that where we are allowed to use our wealth to fulfill worldly pleasures, it should never be such that, those worldly pleasures distract us from the hereafter. That, for example, we're enjoying ourselves watching a movie, or we're enjoying having a great dinner, and then in that process, we are skipping our salah, right? We are completely leaving our prayer, or that we are delaying it, right? That we go on shopping, etc., or we're talking, we're eating, we're doing different things to please ourselves, and in that process we neglect our duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. It is not unlawful to enjoy good things of the world, but it is wrong to enjoy good things of the world at the cost of the reward of the hereafter, right? So وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. The fourth piece of advice they gave him, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Do good just as Allah has been good to you. Meaning pay it forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with so much. So use this to benefit others. In a hadith we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives special blessings to some of His slaves in order to benefit His creation through them. Meaning when certain people are given certain privileges, especially wealth, then that is for the purpose of benefiting the creation through those individuals. So this means that the wealth that a person has been given is not just for them to enjoy. This is a huge opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, a huge favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on them, that use this wealth to enjoy yourself and also benefit other people through it. But then the hadith continues that if such people continue to spend, meaning on others, then their blessings remain with them. But if they withhold, if they become stingy, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes those blessings away from them and gives them to others. And the fact is that no matter how wealthy a person is, and no matter how long they have their wealth for, ultimately what's going to happen? That they're going to be separated from their wealth. So وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a certain a privilege, then it's not just for you to enjoy, for you to be happy with. Yes, alhamdulillah, but part of alhamdulillah is that, part of gratitude is that you use your blessings in a responsible way, and you use them to benefit the people around you as well. The fifth piece of advice they gave him, وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And do not seek corruption in the earth, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like people who cause corruption. And how is it that Qarun was causing corruption? With his pride, excessiveness, right? With his overindulgence. And a lot of times what happens is that when people have money, they think they can do whatever they want. Right, so this is exactly what Qarun was doing. Because of the wealth that he had, he felt secure enough to rebel against his people, to rebel against Musa alayhi salam. Right, so وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And unfortunately, many times what happens is that when people have wealth, they use that to commit sin. Right, they use that to encourage sinfulness, to encourage disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is truly very sad, right? وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And remember that overindulgence, this is also something that causes corruption in the land, right? Think about how the earth is, literally suffering, right? So many creatures on the earth, they are suffering. Why? Because of our greed. Our greed, that we have become so greedy that, you know, or so petty, I can, you know, is the word that comes in mind, that yani we want to be delighted and pleased by you know, things that, yes, bring us momentary joy, but they're destroying the planet. These things are destroying you know, entire habitats. This is pure facade, right? I mean, just think about it. You know, the other day we got some dessert, and there was there was a piece of you know, decoration on it. All right, and when I looked at that piece of decoration, it made me so sad, because what was it? It was plastic. It was glitter on a piece of, well, you know, on a toothpick. Now, I'm not saying that these kind of decorations are unlawful or et cetera. No, but looking at it, you know, because I had to throw it in the garbage, right? And as I was looking at it, I was like, imagine the amount of worldly resources, right, that have gone into putting this thing together. But for what? For me to be delighted by, oh, that looks so cute, and then the next moment I throw it in the garbage? Like, am I that crazy that, you know, so many resources have been put together just for the delight of the eyes? You know, what's the big deal? You know, I understand if, you know, it's food that we're eating, alhamdulillah, it's bringing us nourishment, it's bringing us, you know, joy, etc. But something that's just going to bring momentary joy, like a huge piece of decoration on a cupcake, right? That's going straight into the garbage. But how many resources have been put? And then that garbage, because that's plastic, there's plastic on that piece of decoration, right? What's going to happen? It's going to, you know, just sit there for hundreds of years, literally, and not decompose. And Yani, this is destructive. This is pure destruction. So, وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Remember, just because we can afford certain things doesn't mean we have to indulge in them. We have to be, you know, aware of the waste that we are creating, because this is truly making an impact on the planet, on human life, on other forms of life, and we are responsible for this. We are guilty of this. وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So just because you can afford certain things doesn't mean that you can indulge in them. Because excessiveness is something that causes corruption. Excessive indulgence creates corruption. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Right? Eat and drink, but do not be excessive. Why? Because that leads to fasad. The Prophet ﷺ said that by Allah, it is not the poverty about which I fear in regard to you. Meaning, I don't fear poverty for you. I'm not afraid that you're going to suffer from poverty. But what I do fear for you is that worldly riches will be given to you. The Prophet ﷺ was afraid for us that we will become wealthy. Well, why be afraid? He was afraid of that because he said that just like the people before you, right, the worldly riches were given to them as well. And then what did they do? فَتَنَافَسُوهَا. That they began to compete in it. And in that competition, right, that I should have more. Oh, they have this, now I need something newer, right? They have this, now I need something better. In that desire for upgrade, what are we doing? We are causing a lot of facade, right? And then in that competition, there is jealousy, there is increasing greed, and then there is unfair treatment of one another, because then out of greed, people you know, commit murder, they do such wrong things. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam feared for us. And he said that it will distract you, right? Just as the people before you were distracted by their wealth. So remember that wealth itself is not evil, but with every privilege comes great responsibility. And this is something that we see everywhere, right? That where there is a privilege, where there is an opportunity for great reward, there is also a huge responsibility at the same time. So dunya, worldly things, huge blessing, but they're also a huge responsibility. So we cannot be, just following our desires. We have to be responsible in the way that we acquire wealth, in the way that we indulge, in the way that we use our wealth. So they gave him this really beautiful, very balanced advice, very practical advice. It was not offensive at all. But what was his response? His response was, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. He said, إِنَّمَا, indeed only, أُوتِيتُهُ, I was given all of this wealth, عَلَى عِلْمٍ, because of knowledge, عِنْدِي, that is with me. Meaning, I was given this wealth because of the knowledge I have. I have this wealth because I know what to do. Right, I know how to earn wealth. I know different ways of making money, right? Of investing money, of making my money and wealth grow and increase. So basically what he's saying is I'm self-made, right? I deserve all of this wealth. This is the result of my own effort, my own expertise, my own knowledge. إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. And basically what he's saying is that I know what to do with my wealth. So you don't need to advise me. I don't need any of your advice. إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. Or this has been understood as that I was given this wealth because of knowledge عِنْدِي, yani about me. Meaning Allah knows my condition and Allah knows that I am deserving of this wealth. So who are you to advise me regarding wealth that Allah has given me? Astaghfirullah, what an arrogant response, right? That I don't need your advice. I have all of this because I deserve it. And Allah is the one who has given this to me. So this is none of your business. This is none of your business, right? I can do whatever I want. And this response of his is what? He is rejecting their advice. And he is basically not acknowledging the favor of Allah on him. Because he says, I have been given this because of my knowledge. I deserve it, right? Not that this is Allah's favor on me. So he is rejecting advice and he is also not acknowledging the favor of Allah. He's showing ingratitude for the favor of Allah. And this is a very dangerous attitude that a person is advised and then they reject it, right? The thing is that when someone advises you, even if that advice is unsolicited, right? Or something that is, not fair. You can be upset in your heart. That's perfectly fine. But to say things like, I don't need your advice. Thank you very much, right? Or mind your own business. Yani, this is arrogance. I'm not saying that every person who offers advice, especially on the internet, right, especially on the internet, people who offer advice all the time are not always in a position to offer advice. But you as a recipient, have that humility, right? Have that humility and that decency that you don't go on rejecting every piece of advice, right? Because one of the worst things is that a person is told, fear Allah, and then they say, عَلَيْكَ بِنَفْسِكَ, mind your own business. Let me do whatever I want. So Qarun basically said, mind your own business. Right, I know what to do. You have no right to say anything to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ, did he not know that أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَهْلَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنَ الْقُرُونَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who destroyed before him, meaning before Qarun, al-Qurun, generations. Al-Qurun is a plural of Qarn. Meaning before Qarun, many generations were destroyed, not just individuals, but generations. And these people were who? Man huwa ashaddu minhu quwwatan. They were stronger than him in might. Wa aktharu jam'a. And they were greater in accumulation. They were way stronger than Qarun, and they also had way more wealth than Qarun. So they were people of wealth, they were people of power, yet they were destroyed by Allah. Why is this being said? This is being said to teach us that if a person has wealth and status and privilege in the world, it does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. It does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. Wealth and status are not a sign of success. They don't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with that person. Because if that were the case, then why were these nations before Qarun destroyed? Did Fir'aun not possess a whole lot of wealth? Of course he did. Fir'aun was a man of power, but what happened? His entire civilization destroyed, right? So Qarun had this assumption that I have all of this wealth. Allah knows about me. He knows that I deserve all of this. So he has given it to me. He must be pleased with me so I can do whatever I want. This is a false assumption, right? And also remember that you see, sometimes what happens is that we think that just because a person has been given a certain blessing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. This is not a sign of Allah's love. There is a difference between Allah's mercy and Allah's love. Rahmah and mahabbah are not the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-Rahman, so He is merciful, right? And He shows mercy to all of His creation, right? But that doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves every single one of them. We learned earlier about how Allah does not love, la yuhibbu al-fariheen. Allah does not love the people who exult, people who are arrogant. Allah does not love the people who cause corruption, right? So this means that there are people whom Allah loves and there are people whom Allah does not love. There is a huge difference. So who are the people whom Allah does not love? For example, people who exult, people who are arrogant, people who cause corruption. And part of fasad is to commit sin, to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly, right? And who is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves? We learn in the Quran, for example, about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people, you know, people of taqwa, people of patience, etc. There are different qualities that have been mentioned, right? So wealth is not a sign of Allah's love for a person. And then it is said, وَلَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذُنُوبِهِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ وَلَا يُسْأَلُ and will not be asked. عَنْ ذُنُوبِهِمْ about their sins. Who will not be asked about their sins? الْمُجْرِمُونَ the criminals. ذُنُوب is a plural of ذَنْب. Dhamb is sin, and mujrimun is a plural of mujrim. Mujrim is a person who commits crimes. So the criminals are not asked about their sins. What does it mean? The criminals are not asked to give an explanation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the sins that they're committing. The criminals are not asked that, tell us why. Or what justification do you have? Or what explanation, what reasoning do you have? No, they're not asked. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows their condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the condition of their heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows their reality. You see, there are people who, will, for example, swear oaths that, they will take oaths that my heart is very pure. Right? My heart is very pure. My intention is really good. Right? But the point over here is that words are worthless. Explanations are worthless. Justifications and explanations are worthless, right? Before the punishment of Allah. Meaning your words cannot save you. No matter what you say cannot save you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your condition. So Qarun over here, for example, said, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. Right? I have all this because of my knowledge. I deserve it. Allah knows my condition. Right? He knows that I am worthy of all of this. So you don't need to advise me. He was using his words to justify his behavior. But did his words save him? No, they did not. As we will see in the following verses about how he was punished. So Do not use lengthy words to justify your disobedience. This is the message over here. This is the lesson over here. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our condition, our internal state, our external state. So instead of always trying to justify and you know, trying to please people and, you know, trying to, you know, make people quiet, right? That people should not say anything to me. Instead of focusing all of your energy towards that, shift your energy towards improving your condition, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our reality. وَلَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذُنُوبِهِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Then some have said that this is referring to the Day of Judgment, actually, that people on the Day of Judgment, the criminals will not be asked about their sins. Meaning they will not be asked, did you commit this sin and did you commit that sin? Why? Because there will be no need to ask them. Their condition will speak of their sins. For example, we learn about how arrogant people will come on the Day of Judgment like tiny ants. All right, like tiny ants. So does that person who comes on the Day of Judgment in the form of a tiny, you know, something like a tiny ant, like really, really small, does he need to be asked about, oh, what sin did you commit? No, it's visible. He was arrogant, right? Likewise, we learn about how people will be trampled by the wealth that they did not give zakat on, or that wealth will come in the form of a snake that will be wound around a person's neck, right? And it will be biting his face. Astaghfirullah. So such a person will not be asked, well, did you not give zakat? There's no need to ask because it's very obvious, right? يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ. Criminals will be recognized by their marks. Because remember, our spiritual condition will be like our physical condition on the Day of Judgment. So وَلَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذُنُوبِهِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. On the Day of Judgment, we will not be able to give an explanation as to why we committed a certain sin. So we really need to correct our condition before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also means that وَلَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذُنُوبِهِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ, that in certain places on the Day of Judgment, people will be asked, right, about their sins. They will be interrogated for the purpose of humiliation. And in other places, they will not be asked because there will be no need. They will be sent straight to the punishment. So, وَلَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذُنُوبِهِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. So what's the lesson over here? That we should never think that we are independent of Allah, that we have no need of any advice, that we are above any advice. Because we learn in the Quran that kalla innal insana la yatgha, that the human being commits transgression, right? Why? Arra'ahu staghna, because he sees himself as completely independent. Well, is he completely independent? No, because inna ila rabbika ruj'a, indeed to your Lord is the return. You are going to return to Allah. There is no running away, there is no escape. So Qarun, he justified his behavior and he rejected any good advice, and he instead became worse than before. But then what happened? Ultimately, he returned to his Lord. He met his final end. So in the next verse, we learn that Qarun, as a response to the advice that his people gave him, he became even worse. And what did he do? فَخَرَجَ عَلَى قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ. He came out for his people in his full adornment. Okay? فَخَرَجَ. So he came out. Yani, people advised him, right? That لَا تَفْرَح. Don't show off. Don't exult, right? And what did he do? He began showing off, all right? Full scale. How? That he came out before his people in his adornment. فِي زِينَتِهِ. In his adornment. Yani, fully decked up, wearing, you know, expensive clothes, all of those accessories, and really making a display of his wealth. And, you know, it has been mentioned about how, you know, for example, he unlocked all of his treasures, and all of the wealth that he possessed was, you know, brought outside in order to be displayed before people, right? Basically, he was parading it all before people. Why was he doing that? It's as though he was, you know, trolling them or basically rubbing it in that, you know, you can advise all you want, I'm not taking your advice. And this happens today as well, that when people are advised, right, they become worse than before. So فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ. He came out before his people in his adornment. Now there's a question, is there anything wrong in going before people in your adornment while you have adorned yourself? So for example, you're wearing nice clothes, you're wearing jewelry, you know, you're sitting in your nice car, you're wearing your nice bag, you're wearing your nice watch, right, your good shoes, etc. Is there anything wrong in going out before people like that? It could be, you know, in the form of going to a gathering or, you know, going for shopping or, for example, taking pictures and then posting them on social media. Is there anything wrong with that in showing your adornment to people, right? Well, it depends. First of all, remember that adorning yourself with the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you is not something wrong, okay? Because we learn in the Quran, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ, that who can prohibit the adornment, right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has produced for his slaves? Yani you're not allowed to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the good things of the world for you to enjoy, right, for you to benefit from. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Good things are not haram. A good clothes are not unlawful. Beautifying yourself is not unlawful, all right? However, there are certain, guidelines that we have been given. And when those guidelines are ignored, when they're disregarded, that is where it becomes problematic. So how is it that those guidelines are ignored? They're disregarded. One way is that, for example, a person is adorning themselves and then going out in front of others where it is not correct for them to do that. For instance, a woman, disregarding the guidelines of hijab, right, of proper hijab, and then going out before people, whether it is in the form of taking photos, putting them online, or going out before people, you know, in the Quran, we have been told about hijab, right, about covering our beautification. So when that is ignored, then this is where it becomes problematic, right? Likewise, if a person is adorning themselves and they're going out before others just to show off, to tease others, you know, to impress others, to, you know, show them that, you know what, I am here and you are here, right? That I am better than you. I have a better taste. I have more expensive things, right? And things like that. If there is arrogance in the heart, if there is that feeling of looking down on people, then that is where it becomes problematic. So we learn, for example, in a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the person who has in his heart even an ant's weight of arrogance will not enter Jannah. If a person has even the tiniest amount of arrogance in his heart, he will not enter Jannah. So a person asked the Prophet ﷺ that, you know, I like to wear beautiful clothes and I like to wear good shoes. I like to, look good. So is that wrong? The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah is beautiful. He loves beauty. Arrogance is rejecting the truth and belittling people. Rejecting the truth. The truth of what? Of, for example, guidelines of hijab. The truth of what? The truth of, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us of regarding arrogance and things like that. So rejecting the truth and belittling people, looking down at them, that I am dressed better than them. I look better than them. I am more beautiful than them. And people can advise whatever they want. I am never going to listen to them. Right? It's my body, my choice, and things like that. This is rejecting the truth and belittling people. So this arrogance is wrong, right? But using the blessings that Allah has given you, adorning yourself, looking nice, that is not wrong. It's the manner, all right, in which it is done and the intention with which it is done that makes it problematic. So Qarun came out before his people fi zinatihi, with his full adornment to show off, to belittle them, to really rub it in that, you know what, you advised me, but hey, I don't take your advice. I can do whatever I want. So now what happened? People, you know, his people are watching him, Bani Israel, they're looking at him, and people respond in different ways, right? So so basically the people who were watching him, you know, in his full display of his zina, they were of two types, two kinds. Who were they? First of all, قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. The first group of people is of those who desire worldly life. Okay, الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. They love worldly life. They want success in this life. They want more and increase in this life. Right? They desire worldly life. They said, what was their response? When they saw Qarun in all of his wealth, they said, Ya layta lana. Oh, would that. مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ. If only we had the same as what Qarun was given. And they, you see, Ya layta, this is حَرْف تَمَنِّي. I wish. Right? So they said, we wish that we had similar to what Qarun was given. We wish we had the same. And they said, إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, he is of great fortune. He is a man of great fortune. He is so lucky. He has all of this wealth, right? So they saw Qarun with all of his wealth and they began wishing for it. And this is a very natural human response, that you see someone with something good and you desire the same, right? And technically, there is nothing wrong with it. But if a person is just aiming for the good things of this life, then this distracts him from the hereafter, right? That everything you see, you start wishing for it, okay? This shows that a person only wants the good things of the world. So for example, you see someone with a new watch, oh, what watch is that? Where'd you get it from? I want it as well. And he always looking at people's things. And this is a bad habit, a really bad habit. I remember when we were little, anywhere we went, even if it was to someone's house, we were not allowed to just, stare at what people had. And we were told not to do that. You don't stare at people's things. You don't look at people's things like that. You know, when you go into someone's home, you don't have to, start looking around and, start asking them. And likewise, if somebody comes before you, why are you scanning them top to bottom and checking what phone they have? What version is it? Right. And what bag is it? Is it an original or fake? Right. What shoes are they wearing? And then measuring people's worth by that. And then looking at what people have and then desiring the same. This shows greed for the world. Right. Rise above that. قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. So people who only look at the surface, people to whom this dunya is everything, they say such things, right? وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. But the second type of people, what was their response when they saw Qarun's wealth? The people who were given knowledge, these are people of knowledge, all right? They said, وَيْلَكُمْ, woe to you. What are you wishing for? You're envying Qarun? Is he worth envy? And yes, he has all of that wealth, but look at his actions. Look at his behavior. A person's worth is not measured by, their wealth, but by their character, right? So they said, وَيْلَكُمْ, woe to you. What is it that you're wishing for? And then they said, ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ. The reward of Allah is better. It is way better than what Qarun has. But that reward is given to who? لِمَنْ آمَنَ. It's given to those who believe. وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَا. And those who do righteous deeds. وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ And none are granted it except those who are patient. And in order to receive the reward of Allah, for that, patience is needed, sabr is needed. So be patient over here. Now notice over here, they say the people of knowledge, first of all, they're described as people of knowledge because people of knowledge don't just look at the surface of things, okay? That, oh, new phone, nice, impressive, $1,500 phone. Wow, this person is wealthy, okay? No, they don't just look at the surface. They go beyond the surface. They see, okay, nice, all right, mashallah, this is Allah's favor on this person. And you know what? Yes, this is good, this is great, but there's something that's even greater. And what is that? That's the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. The reward that Allah will give. The reward that Allah gives in this life and also in the next life. Because remember, thawabullah is of two kinds. There is a reward which is ajil, which is immediate. And then there is the reward which is ajil, meaning it is deferred. Okay, what is the immediate reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to those who believe and do righteous deeds? The joy of ibadah. Finding joy and pleasure in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, that joy is far better than the joy you could get with three new phones, than the joy you could get with the best food. All right, why? Because the thing is that the things of the world, yes, they bring you some kind of joy, all right? They bring you some kind of gratification, but that gratification is so temporary, right? It is so temporary. And what happens is that it dies so quickly, all right? And it just leaves you empty inside, right? You feel so unsatisfied soon after. Right, you have that sense of guilt as well. You know, for example, if you're enjoying ice cream, all right, nice. But if you think having that ice cream is like, wow, the best thing in the world, and you're eating it with guilt, all right. And then with every bite that you take, you know, you don't feel that sense of satisfaction. You want more. It leaves you greedy, wanting for more. And then eventually what happens? Right, the money that you gave to buy the ice cream, gone. And the ice cream also finished, khalas. But when you do something good for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, even when you're eating ice cream, right, you spend that money, you're hungry, you know, you treat yourself, you treat your family, you get that ice cream, you express gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you say bismillah, with every bite that you take, you're like, wow, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You know, you have that realization that this is Allah's blessing on me. So what's going to happen? The reward that you expressed, the gratitude that you expressed is going to, inshallah, bring you reward that is everlasting. Everlasting. The things of the world will come to an end. The pleasures of the world will come to an end. But the reward that Allah gives to a person because of their ibadah, right? The joy in ibadah, the joy in turning to Allah, in remembering Allah, that is everlasting. So this is the immediate reward, right? The joy of worship, the joy of turning to Allah, the joy of gratitude, the joy of remembering Allah. And then there is the deferred reward, which is ajil, that which will come later. And that is the reward in paradise, right? So thawabullah, the reward that Allah gives, is far better than what Qarun has. All right, it's far better, but it's only for the people who believe and do righteous deeds. And it is for people who are patient. Patient with what? Patient with, you know, controlling their desire. Patient with, you know, the decree of Allah. Patient in obeying Allah. Patient in staying away from sin. Right, patient in, you know, making those difficult choices where they're giving preference to the hereafter over the dunya. Because without sabr, you cannot prepare for the home of the hereafter. Why is it that people end up making bad choices? You know, for example, where they don't care about lawful and unlawful, Why? Because that sabr is missing, right? That I have to have this, right? I have to have a house of mine. I have to have this, I have to have experienced this, right? I have to have enjoyed this. Even if it's unlawful, I don't care. What's missing over there? Sabr is missing. Patience is missing. But when a person has patience, right, they're able to remember that the hereafter is everlasting. And then they can give preference to the hereafter over the dunya. They can give preference to Allah's command over their desire. So what happened? Qarun, he was displaying all of his wealth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ. So we caused him to be swallowed, وَبِدَارِهِ, and also his home, الْأَرْضَ, by the earth. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the earth, okay, caused the earth to swallow Qarun, and also the wealth of Qarun, the home of Qarun. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. And Qarun is showing off all of his wealth, walking in his arrogance and his pride. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the earth to swallow him in. Meaning the earth opened up, and literally Qarun and his home, all of his wealth, everything sank into the earth. And as he was swallowed by the earth, what happened? فَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِئَةٍ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. There was for him no company to aid him other than Allah. And no group of people could come to rescue him. No servants, no usba, right? No army. Nobody could come to rescue him, bring him out. No one came to rescue him. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُنْتَصِرِينَ. And he was not of those who could defend themselves. So no one helped him, and he could not defend himself. So what happened to Qarun? He was swallowed by the earth, him and all of his wealth. And remember that the punishment of a sin is always similar to the sin itself. Okay? Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. So what did Qarun do? Qarun exalted himself above people. So what was his ultimate end? He was made the lowest of the low. Right? He was made the lowest of the low. He sank in the earth. He went below people, literally. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. So this is a huge warning and something that we need to remember, that we should never be deceived by the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Never feel arrogant because of it, and never show off our wealth before others and disregard the guidelines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in enjoying the blessings that Allah has given. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that while a man was dragging his lower garment, okay? And remember that the Arabs would do that. Why? Because, as if to show that I have so much wealth, I don't care if my lower garment gets dirty, right? Or that it's dragging behind me because I have so much, right? So this was a way of walking arrogantly. So while a man was dragging his lower garment, he was swallowed up. He was swallowed up, and he will remain sinking down into the earth until the day of judgment. This is a huge warning. This was not just for Qarun, but for another man also who was walking arrogantly. So we should be careful about how we walk. You know, when we're dressed all nicely, we're wearing nice clothes. How are we walking? We learn in the Quran about Ibadur Rahman, the servants of the slaves of the Most Merciful. يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. They walk on the earth with humility. Show that humility. No matter what you're wearing, even if you're wearing $1,000 dress, still walk with humility, because you're still on earth. And you're still a slave of Allah. Your status is that you are a slave. So never be arrogant. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضَ. And look at how his helplessness is mentioned over here. He could not defend himself, and nobody came to his rescue either. وَأَصْبَحَ الَّذِينَ تَمَنَّوا مَكَانَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ يَقُولُونَ. وَأَصْبَحَ, and became. Who? الَّذِينَ تَمَنَّوا, the people who wished. What did they wish for? مكانه, to be in his position, بالأمس, by yesterday. يعني, the people who were wishing to be in his place the day before, right? The people who desired worldly life, right? And people who were saying, oh, we wish we had been given similar to what Qarun has been given, right? They began saying something. What did they say? They said, وَيْكَأَنَّ. وَيْكَأَنَّ, this is a kalima of ta'ajjub, right? Meaning this is a word that expresses amazement. So they began expressing their amazement. وَيْكَأَنَّ. Wow. Wow. Oh. Allah yabsutu rizqa. وَيْكَأَنَّ Allah. Oh, how. Allah is the one who يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. He extends provision for whomsoever he wills, مِنْ عِبَادِي, from his slaves, وَيَقْدِرُ, and he is the one who restricts it. And he, ultimately, all power is with Allah. This is Allah's decision to make. To give a lot of wealth to certain slaves and to restrict it for certain other slaves. This is Allah's decision. So, these people learned their lesson. You see, earlier they were saying, Qarun is so lucky. إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. Right? He's a man of great fortune. He's so fortunate. So now they realize that no, the wealth that Qarun had was not a sign of his great fortune. Because this is not about a person's greatness that he has a lot of wealth. No, this is Allah's favor on him. And this is Allah's decision. He gives and he takes away. Or he gives abundantly or he restricts wealth for certain people. This is Allah's decision and not a sign of a person's greatness. And this is something that we need to remember on a daily basis. Because we become very impressed and almost intimidated by people of wealth and status. We think that they're a big deal. Yes, we should acknowledge the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. But we should never think that they are so great that they don't even need Allah anymore. Astaghfirullah. And then they said, لَوْلَا أَمَّنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا لَخَسَفَ بِنَا. لَوْلَا, if it had not been for the favor of Allah upon us, if Allah had not bestowed favor on us, لَخَسَفَ بِنَا, he would have caused the earth to swallow us. And we could have been in Qarun's place, right? That Allah really favored us by protecting us, by not giving us all of that wealth. Because we don't know, if we were in Qarun's position, perhaps we would have responded with the same arrogance, right? So they realized the blessing of Allah in what was given to them, even though it was less than what Qarun had been given. And also, remember that they wished to be in Qarun's place, right? And remember that on the Day of Judgment, a person will be with those whom he loves. So here, these people realize that we're so fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not punish us along with Qarun. And he could have given us the same punishment that he gave to Qarun because we wanted to be with Qarun. We wanted to be like Qarun. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected us. So remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his wisdom, he decides to hold back something from you, you don't know. Allah is protecting you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows his slaves, right? He knows us better than we know ourselves. So trust Allah's decision. And be grateful to Allah for whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you or taken away from you. And always be careful about who you wish to be like. Be careful about who you wish to be with and who you wish to be like. Because al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. A person will be with those whom he loves. Who do you look up to? Check yourself. They said, وَيْكَأَنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. They said, oh, how the disbelievers do not succeed. The people who deny, and remember, kufr is not just to disbelieve, kufr is also to show ingratitude. Such people do not succeed, ever, not in the world and not in the hereafter. So now, what lesson can we learn from these verses, from the story of Qarun? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, tilka darul akhirah, that home of the hereafter. Tilka is used to point to something that is far, something that's really high, right? That home of the hereafter. Right now, you are in the dunya, and the home of the world is closer to you. But that home of the hereafter, that is given to who? Naj'aluha, we assign it. Lilladina, for those people who la yuriduna uluwan fil ardi wala fasada. The people who do not desire two things in the world. What are those two things? Uluw, and secondly, fasad. What is uluw? Exaltedness, okay? Greatness, or arrogance, all right? Against a people or against Allah. Wala fasada. Secondly, corruption. How? By committing sin. So the people who stay away from these two things, all right, from exaltedness and also from fasad, they're the ones who will be given the home of the hereafter. So these are two conditions we need to fulfill if we want a home in the hereafter, if we want to make it to Jannah, that we need to stay away from arrogance and also from fasad. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, and the best outcome is for the righteous. And this shows us that the people of taqwa are who? The people who stay away from fasad and also from ulu. Now, where is ulu? Ulu, literally, ulu means to be high, right? To be high, exalted, all right? And this feeling is where? It is in the heart, right? It's a person's internal state where a person, for example, believes that I am better than people. I am here, they're here, right? I know more, they know less. I am more sincere and they are not. I am more knowledgeable and they are not. I am more good looking and they are not. I speak better and they don't, right? I have this and they don't have this. So this arrogance is in the heart, right? It's a person's internal state. And fasad, corruption, this is through a person's actions. This is a person's external state, right? That they are being destructive now with their excessiveness, with their overindulgence, with their disobedience to Allah. Their internal state and external state, right? So the people who are arrogant, who seek arrogance, who seek greatness before others, who seek to be, you know, who just want to prove it to others that, you know, I am better and I can do whatever I want. And then they're destructive, corrupt in their actions. Such people will be deprived of the home of the hereafter. And the people who stay away from these, they're the ones who will have a place in Jannah. Those who لا يريدون علواً في الأرض ولا فسادا. And these are the people of taqwa, for whom is a good consequence. Then it is mentioned, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا. Whoever comes on the day of judgment with a good deed will have better than it. SubhanAllah. Think about the riches that Qarun had been given. All of those riches swallowed into the earth. Finished, right? And this is the reality of the things of the world, that they will come to an end. They will finish. They don't really make you wealthy. Okay, what makes you wealthy, what really makes you successful is the good that you do. So whoever brings a good deed on the day of judgment will get what is even better than it. Meaning the reward will be better than the good that you did. When you say, Alhamdulillah, how long does it take? How difficult is it? It's not much, right? It's just two words, Alhamdulillah. But what does Alhamdulillah do? It fills the scale, right? Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. These are words that are easy to say. They're not that difficult. But the reward for these words is so much. It's way better than the effort that you put in. فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the reward as well, right? For each good deed is 10 times the reward and even more. So من جاء بالحسنة فله خير منها. And what is حسنة? حسنة literally is what is good, right? So حسنة includes all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us of, right? All virtues, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, whether these are words, like for example, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, speaking the truth, speaking nicely to people, etc. It could be words, it could be actions, right? And these could be actions of the heart or actions of the body, right? Actions that are visible or actions that are done in private. Hasana is not just one type of goodness. Any act of obedience, if a person brings it on the Day of Judgment, they will get a reward that is far better. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ And whoever comes with an evil deed, فَلَا يُجْزَى الَّذِينَ عَمِلُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ إِلَّا بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Then those who did evil deeds will not be recompensed except as much as what they used to do. Yani a person will only be punished for what they have done. Yani if a person is punished on the Day of Judgment, then they have no one to blame except themselves. So remember, the real poverty and real richness is that of the Day of Judgment, not of the world. Because if a person has the wealth of Qarun even, it's going to come to an end. وَالْبَاقِيَةُ الصَّالِحَاتِ It's the good deeds that will endure, that will remain, and that will be of benefit to a person on that day. إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنِ Now the Prophet ﷺ is directly addressed towards the end of the surah. That indeed, he who has imposed upon you the Qur'an, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has farada alayka al-Qur'an. Farada means what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Qur'an mandatory on you. How? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed certain commands in it that you must follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified to you in the Qur'an what is lawful, what is unlawful, and you must be careful of that. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to recite it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to convey it, to preach it, right? To invite people to it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told that the one that Allah who has blessed you with the Qur'an and who has made this Qur'an mandatory upon you, you have no choice now. لَرَادُكَ إِلَى مَعَادِ Then that same being will take you back to a place of return. Ma'ad is from the root letters Ayn Waw Dal, and it's the place of return. So Allah gave you the Qur'an and Allah will take you back to a place of return. What is a place of return referring to over here? This can be referring to Makkah. Okay, because remember the Prophet ﷺ, he had to leave Makkah just as Musa ﷺ had to leave Egypt, right, to save his life. The Prophet ﷺ, for his own safety, he had to leave Makkah. So a promise is made here that Allah will bring you back. Just as Musa alayhi salam, from Madian, he returned to Egypt, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, he was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him conquest and so he was able to return. And then ma'ad can also refer to the place of return as in the hereafter, right? That is a real place of return. We came from Allah, we returned to Allah. So Allah is the one who has given you this Qur'an and Allah is the one who will bring you success. Now tell them, قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْهُدَى وَمَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ All the people who deny you, who oppose you, who reject you, tell them, my Lord is most knowing of who brings guidance and who is in clear error. That even if you don't believe, even if you don't accept, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And that is enough. وَمَا كُنْتَ تَرُجُّ And now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is made to realize the blessing of the Qur'an that he had been given. وَمَا كُنْتَ تَرُجُّ And you were not expecting. You never expected. أَنْ يُلْقَى إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ That the book will be given to you. You never expected it. You never prepared for it. That you should be given the book of Allah. That you should be chosen as a prophet of Allah. You never expected that. So you have been given the Qur'an, you have been given prophethood as what? إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ only as a mercy from your Lord. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ ظَهِيرًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. So never be an assistant to those who disbelieve. Do not assist those who deny. How? How would the Prophet ﷺ possibly assist the people who deny? By not conveying the message. So remember, inaction is also a crime. Not fulfilling your duty is also an offense. Being complicit is also wrong. If the Prophet ﷺ were not to convey the Quran to people just because some people were refusing, just because some people were rejecting, that would be what? That would be a way of aiding those who deny. So whose side are you on? So basically the Prophet ﷺ is being warned over here that you must convey. This is a mercy from Allah. People are in need of this. So don't hold back. And those who deny you, those who oppose you, let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with them. وَلَا يَصُدُّنَّكَ عَنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أُنزِلَتْ إِلَيْكَ. And never let them avert you from the verses of Allah after they have been revealed to you. When the Quran has been revealed to you, when you have been given knowledge of the verses of Allah, do not let people avert you from them. And this could be in the way of them literally stopping you, threatening you, or them distracting you, right? So don't let anything come between you and the Quran. And this is something that we need to remember as well. Because sometimes what happens is that when we start, learning about different ideologies, different, opinions or different even research, sometimes we begin to believe in those things more than we believe in the Quran. Don't let that happen. وَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. And invite people to your Lord. This is the goal. وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And never be of those who associate others with Allah. So yes, the Prophet ﷺ is being told over here, but the teaching is also for us that never let people prevent you from believing in the Quran, from following the Quran. And you should actually be inviting people to Allah. And never ever make the mistake of associating partners with Allah. And in the last verse, وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ. And do not invoke with Allah another deity. Never ever forget the seriousness of this sin. That وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ. Only call upon Allah, only worship Allah. Because لا إله إلا هو. There is no deity except Him. This is the greatest reality. Allah is the only God. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَا. Everything will be destroyed except His face. Everything. And all of the glitters of the world that you see, the impressive things, you know, the wealthy people, people of status, people of power, everything you see, finished. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ إِلَّا وَجْهَا. So seek the face of Allah. Your effort, your striving in life should be to seek the pleasure of Allah. لَهُ الْحُكْمُ. To Him belongs judgment. Allah is the one who has the authority to decide what is right, what is wrong, what we should do, what we should not do. لَهُ الْحُكْمُ. And ultimately, Allah is the one who will judge on the Day of Judgment. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And to Him you will be returned. There is no escape from Allah. So prepare to meet Him. And this is the real lesson. That everything in this world, the people that we are with, and also the privileges that we have been given, the wealth that we have been given, all of that is temporary. This is the reality of this world. The only being who is everlasting is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So give Him preference over everything else, even over yourself. Seek His approval before the approval of anyone else. That is what his success is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all this understanding. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.